All right. Welcome, everybody, to our Transportation Infrastructure Services Committee meeting for Monday, August 9th. We've got a very large 193-page agenda, so let's launch into this. So the first item on for discussion is the McAdam Road South Sidewalk Improvement Project, TIB grant application. This is for discussion only. And Brittany, are you going to walk us through this?
I am. Team council members, thank you for having me here tonight. So we are applying for or hoping to apply for a grant through the Transportation Improvement Board. This grant would allow us to create a continuous network of sidewalks from South Center Boulevard all the way up to 144th Street along McAdam Road. And so this would be in collaboration with the water main improvement that's happening along McAdam starting next year. And the funding is for $400,000, but they do require a 20% match, which would be $80,000. This project also falls within our McAdam Road Complete Streets project. And so we have funding allocated to that in 2022 and 2023 that could be used for that match. So we are just seeking approval to apply.
Great, wonderful. Thank you. Councilmember Quinn, do you have any questions?
Just a really quick question. It's the State Transportation Improvement Board?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make that clarification. And then it says the match. Sorry, just lost it. Percent, and I just want to make sure we have the budget for that. That comes out of the Complete Streets, right?
Want to make sure. That would come out of the Complete Streets.
And then just one quick thing. I'm supportive of it. And the prioritization list, this one obviously bubbles up because it's been on the list for a while, but can you just confirm?
Yeah, Council. The water main between McAdam from our city hall, if you start going towards 52nd in that area, the water main needs looping. So recently there was a fire accident there that kind of tells us that we need to have the water main looping. So that's determined. So that puts this project in a priority. Since we're doing water main, since we're opening up the road, this is a time to do the sidewalk. And instead of funding entire sidewalk by our general fund, this is a great opportunity. The Brittany is taking advantage of the grant opportunity. So that puts this project in priority.
Okay. And that's a great explanation. There has been a policy that we established to do exactly this. Can you, in this memo, remind everyone that was the consistency of, and so this is where it's starting to bear fruits, is that we're maximizing utility work and opportunity along with grants, and it's another cost-saving way for us to institute. So I just want to make sure that that's captured, because sometimes we forget, and to me that's a leading with that helps avoid the prioritization piece, because you've already explained it up front. But yeah. I mean, I had no issues with this memo, and everything I asked, I knew, but I wanted us to make sure we frame it in the manner in which we do so.
Absolutely. We can make that change.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
I have just a couple questions. In general, I'm for this and will support it, but we're doing sidewalks on both sides of the street. Why not just one side? And
only on one side. Because we don't have right of way on the other side, so there's a freeway on the other side. And
on page two, it says both sides of the street. on the capital project summary.
Right. So when we originally intended to do the capital project, our intention was to do on both sides. But after doing the review and design and walk through the site, we have created a network of sidewalks only on one side that will not require condemning land or additional right-of-way purchase. And also, that doesn't require any fill. This is the cheapest, yet the best route for all apartments, folks that are living in there, to connect them to the schools and the buses and bus stops.
Yeah, I think it's an important connection, so I am supportive. Maybe in your info memo, could you just make that distinction that it's just one side of the street?
Yeah.
I thought it was two based on what I read on the summary, the project summary.
It was a good catch, Councilmember McLeod. It was the change in field conditions that caused us to just do it on one side.
Okay. I think it's great. I'm all for it. I yield back. You're on mute.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, I'm in full support of this. I thank my fellow council members for their questions. I remember a long time ago, I was our public works director when I first got on the council 16 years ago, said, once you open up the streets to do something, do everything that you can. And because once it's open, you don't want to do that again. So yes. I think this is great. This is a discussion item only. I'll report out on it tonight briefly. And I think that's it. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you.
All right. So that moves us on to the next item, which is the Surface Water Fund 2021 Annual Small Drainage Program Bid Award. Mr. Larson.
Good afternoon. This is for the award of a contract to Titan Earthworks for construction of the 2021 Annual Small Drainage Program. A little history, Small Drainage Program constructs drainage projects throughout the city. They're too large for city staff to complete, but they're also smaller than a typical capital improvement project. They originate from citizens and then maintenance staff recommendations. They're compiled on a list annually, and then we pick several to design and construct per year. The 2021 Annual Small Drainage Program, we're looking to construct six projects at six locations, as noted in the attached project location map. We advertised for bids on July 13th and July 20th. We received two bids that were opened on July 27th. The bids were checked, tabulated, and no errors were found. Titan Earthworks is the apparent low bidder with an overall bid of $728,225. And then the engineer's estimate was $624,840. So if you look at the budget summary below, we have $700,000 budgeted in this year's CIP for this project. We also have an additional $101,047.50 left over from last year's construction budget. This allows us to have the bid plus 10% contingency for a total of $801,047.50. So council is being asked to award the construction contract for the 2021 Annual Small Drainage Program to Titan Earthworks in the amount of $728,225 and consider this item on the consent agenda at the August 16th regular meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Council Member Quinn, questions, comments?
I have no questions. It's really straightforward. I'm comfortable with forwarding it to consent.
Thank you. Council Member McLeod.
I'm comfortable forwarding to consent, but I do have one clarifying question. In the memo, you talk about citizen complaints can help get a project to surface or be on the radar. How do you prioritize those as a which citizen complaint gets addressed first?
We just have to look at the actual what it is. A number of years ago, we actually had a citizen call up because roadway runoff was running down her driveway into her backyard, causing a big puddle. We had no idea this was going on. So we actually moved that one to the top of the list. Other times you just have things like, you know, you get leaves in the sidewalk, that kind of thing. We just have to look at all the projects together trying to do our best gut feeling which one is moves to the top. Flooding is obviously a bigger issue than just kind of nuisance problems.
Okay, thank you. No, I'm okay with this moving forward.
And I am as well. So if we all are, I believe we're all in agreement to forward this to the August 16th consent agenda. All right. Care of that. So the next item on the agenda is the East Marginal Way South Stormwater Outfalls Project. Ryan, is this you again?
This is me again.
All right.
So we're looking for approval of a supplemental agreement for change order number 3 for contract number 20-118 with Marsh Bank Construction for added construction costs associated with two unknown utilities. So this project was awarded October 19th of last year. Construction began this year on March 8th, 2021. The initial work calling for utility locates. We do that prior to any construction contract starting. The utility locators came out. They identified a new utility that we had no idea was there. Because of this, the contract was placed on hold. Our designers are also our construction managers, and they had to redesign the project within this area to avoid the conflict. So then they developed new plans to develop, or they sent them to the contractor on March 12th. We thought we were ready to go. The contractor cut the asphalt, began excavating, and ran into another unknown utility. This one wasn't even marked with paint marks. So back to the design drawing board. KPG went through the same exercise, moved the pipe a third time. And this time construction began, I believe it was on March 29th. That's when the plans were delivered, and they were able to resume their work on April 5th. And this amounted to about a 1 month delay in the whole project. So the main impacts when you run into this kind of delay is the contractor has mobilized all their equipment, their personnel, and now they cannot work. So they got delay costs. They also have construction costs such as saw cutting the pavement. They've removed pavement. They had traffic control out there. They did potholes. Now we have to repair the pavement where we can't put a trench. And then we also have overhead and material changes. For example, if you purchase a drainage structure and now it has to be changed so there's a hole on the other side, you have to modify things. So the total negotiated delay in material costs for this change order is $211,011.80. There was project contingencies on the project of $155,280.15. That covers change order number 1, change order number 2, and various unit price overruns. This additional $211,000 is required to finish construction of the project. The overall project budget is sufficient to fund the additional change order. Just so everybody remembers, the project did receive $1,106,250 for design and construction funds from the Department of Ecology. We received also $100,000 from King County Opportunity Fund for construction, and then the remaining project funds are from the city's 412 budget. So council has been asked to approve a supplemental agreement for change order number 3, to contract 20-118 with Marsh Bank Construction in the amount of $211,011.80, and consider this item on the consent agenda at the August 16th regular meeting.
All right, thanks. Councilmember Quinn. You're muted. There you go.
No questions. Comfortable with this going forward. Makes sense to me.
Councilmember McLeod.
Yeah, same here. It kind of is what it is at this point, I think. So move forward and wrap it up. So no questions.
Yeah, and that's my feeling as well. So excuse the barking dogs. Okay, so we'll forward this then to the August 16th consent agenda then.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. All right.
You're
muted.
I said that removes a whole lot of pages out of this. this thing. So, all right, so that moves us on to our final item on the agenda tonight, which is the school zone automatic traffic safety camera revenue resolution. And I think that's Laurel.
It is. Thank you, Chair. So before you tonight is a proposed resolution relating to revenues generated by the school zone speed cameras. And as background, you began talking about automated traffic cameras in 2018, deciding against the red light cameras proposed by BD, but agreeing to move forward with school zone speed cameras to be placed on 144th near Foster and Showalter. This was the result of a lengthy public outreach process conducted primarily by PD, along with city council hearings. The CSS committee just received an update, I think last week, that the program is it's being implemented now. It'll begin this coming school year, and that PD actually would like to place two additional cameras on 42nd Avenue South.
You froze, Laurel. All we heard was 42nd Avenue. Yeah, we can't hear you. I'm sorry, baby. I wonder if you turned your video off. Sometimes that helps. Laura, we can't hear you.
On the memo on page 193 of your package, committee, what Laurel is talking about is about midway through second paragraph towards the last lines, that the two additional cameras be placed on 42nd Avenue South is the change that is being proposed. It's the last line in the second paragraph.
Okay, so Laurel, maybe I don't know. Maybe go out and come back in.
Telephone.
Yeah.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Now we can. Yes.
This is Laurel. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry about that. My internet just suddenly dropped. I apologize. I was scrambling to dial in.
No, that's okay.
Let me finish. I can make this quick. So let's see. I was at the contract. Okay. Last August, you approved a contract with Novoa Global to implement the program. And during that discussion, you were clear that improving safety through behavioral change is the goal here, not revenues or punishment. And you gave direction at that time that any revenues generated above the cost of sustaining the program be directed to school zone safety in the form of either infrastructure improvements or driver education. And so the proposed resolution on page 194 spells this intention out, specifically stating that all costs relating to personnel, vendor, and equipment associated with the program, not only the cameras, not only the police charges, but the technology support and the municipal court piece are to be paid with the program revenue. The resolution states that any revenues beyond this self-sustaining model will be directed to school zone infrastructure and driver education campaigns. We wanted to keep it in the form of a resolution to provide future flexibility. Because this is a pilot program, we really need to reevaluate this as we have more information. Also, finance is implementing a new accounting system so we can come back with better information on how we can show the community and council the details on the program revenue and expenditures. So I hope that the resolution captures your intent, at least to have it in place along with the first implementation this fall I do intend to come back in 2022 with recommendations on how we can further refine the program. So I'm asking for a recommendation and a forward to the August 23rd Committee of the Whole, unless you would like to take this to consent. And I'm open for questions. I'm actually going to try to rejoin the meeting because I think my internet's back on.
Great. Thank you, Laurel. I'll start with Tom this time. Councilmember McLeod.
As I read the resolution, I am for that. I have a little bit of concern at the last here trying to add cameras on 42nd, and that wasn't part of our public discussion. I might feel that people would kind of feel that at the end, the tail end of this process, that we moved cameras onto 42nd, although it would make perfect sense to me to put them there, especially with Thorndike down off of 150th. But I think there needs to be a better process that we do that. So for now, I would just want to keep the cameras on 144th. And I saw some comments on social media about, are we giving the drivers enough notice that they're entering a camera zone? And I would like to just say, I hope we do give them signs and warnings that they're entering a camera zone. That's my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Councilmember Quinn.
Yeah, I actually share Councilmember McLeod's concern, but I also articulated it pretty clearly to Chief Driever. And just for clarity's sake, the goal is for the main focus is going to be around education, right? And so a piece around this will just be about the implementation. So what I would say is that the 42nd Avenue didn't really kind of follow our previous process with a lot of discussion. And I just think that that might be a barrier for us moving this forward. So if we can pull this off, because everyone's got some notice from the signage, the testing, we have data from that as well, from the visual sign, speed signs on 144th. And I think the same would be true for, it's a different mechanism on 42nd. I mean, it's a traffic light, right? And so I just would be curious how that all kind of works. Don't we already have cameras on 42nd? Just as a kind of a traffic monitoring thing? I'm just wondering.
I don't have the answer to that. Perhaps somebody in Public Works does. I'm hearing comments and I'm thinking we could probably get the Chief Driever to update the full council soon on the implementation. Because you're right, the addition of the new cameras, it did come up in committee, and Mr. Klein said something about how the contract amendment would come back to council, but I read the contract and it doesn't specify location. So I think an overall update to make sure you are up to speed on what's going on and on board with it would be really good. And I see Hari is on.
Yeah, I don't think we have at the intersection of 42nd where the school is. I think where we have was on at or near TIB. I can look into it exactly to see where the cameras are.
Yeah, because I think we, so we know there's monitored speeds, right? There's no light. I'm just talking out loud here. And we know that the crossing was we emphasize so that we can reduce the interactions. Mm-hmm. I think at the stoplight, there probably needs to be some data to back up this decision as well. And we did a lot of assessment to get to where we are now. And I just don't want to, we don't have to necessarily recreate it but we do have a process for analysis. And I think that's different than an additional, but I see the intent in which it's being proposed is to reduce the incidences where actually people are using the crosswalk and folks are just driving through. So, I mean, and that is all about safety and safety around schools. So I just wanted to articulate that along with, you know, wanting to maybe follow a process and just to be very transparent about how we go through these processes.
Thank you, Deshaun. I'm fine with the resolution. The 42nd Avenue did surprise me, and I said, you know, program update, you know, like I think you both said, it took us a long time to get to where we are right now. So I think that there needs to be some more discussion around 42nd. The other thing that I've heard now twice, because I walk down 144th almost every night and running into neighbors, that there's no, now we all know that if, back to driver's training, if you're driving down a street and it's not posted, the speed limit is not posted, it's 25 miles an hour in a residential zone, I think. But what my point is, there is between the bottom of Bremers Hill all the way up to TIB, I think there are no signs to say what the speed limit is. There's no sign. So it's 20 when the kids are there, but what is it outside of that? And that was what I've heard now from a couple people. And it, you know, and I drove down there and I didn't see that. So maybe we can put some signs up, you know, some speed limit signs through that area. Again, you know, they're going to see that, the camera, they're going to see that it's 20 miles an hour, but outside of that, and when it's not that time, what is the speed limit? I think that might help. Because people are still going down that road. The other night, I swear, this guy must have been doing, when I say 80, I'm not kidding. It was scary. So anyway, that's my feedback. So go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, I think all three of you made very valid points, committee members. What we can do is I have our new traffic engineer, Muhammad, take a closer look at that intersection, and then we'll work with the police chief and the consultant that they're using, and want to make sure that we're following the same process and go through the same method that they originally intended. The intention was for a school safety zone, then now you're kind of encroaching into the traffic, the signal at 42nd and other stuff. So we may want to be careful and look at it more closely and bring it back. I'll give the information, what our findings, to Laurel and the police chief.
Perfect. Thank you. So I think we're all in agreement then. This will go to the August 23rd Committee of the Whole, and then a special meeting following?
No.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else for the good of the order, this Mr. Quinn, Councilmember Quinn?
Yeah, we had this item before, but I need to articulate it in hearing some more challenges and complaints with waste management, and in particular in Allentown. And then the numbers that we were given, I know I shared, and I'm assuming other council members shared with the individuals that were having the issues, and there was not a callback. So I wanted to make sure and get that on the record, in particular, because we were told about their process, and then it didn't necessarily follow what they said their process was. I understand there was a lot of things going on this weekend. There was the pick up the stuff on the curb stuff, but a lot of people have called from Allentown about this issue, and we're not always privy to what the response was. And we also heard this on Night Out Against Crime. So I just wanted to follow up, as we've engaged with waste management before. And so I gave Randy's number. There wasn't a return call, and they also used other numbers. So I just wanted to highlight that, because that kind of wasn't matching what they told us when we were in committee. But I mean, anything could happen, but I think it might make sense to engage with them a bit.
Yeah, I heard last Friday there were interesting things, and it wasn't with recycle. It was not a recycle Friday, but somebody sent me a video of the garbage being picked up, and literally they set, all the garbage didn't fall into the truck. Lid was down, went in, it went down, garbage was all, you know, flew out of the top of it and the truck went off. So I have that video that I'm going to be sending. So, but no, I think this is still an ongoing issue that we're going to just need to keep up on. So appreciate that, Deshaun, bringing that up. So, all right. Anything else? All right. We have then about, we have like an hour. So we'll see you guys in a little bit. Thanks. Bye.